Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Daily Fantasy Football Report. This is your host, Manny Perez. Follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez, DFFR, and this is the Week 3 Recap. Every week in the NFL is different. Last week was tons of injuries. This week was the week of the rookies outplaying the vets, and we'll go into that in a minute. This past week, you know, I had some guys that were top five and then others that were not. So, you win some, you lose some. And it's like Lotto, just trying to find the right combination of players. Starting at quarterback, I told you, relax. Aaron Rodgers, not so many passing yards, 205 passing yards, but four TDs, was actually the number two guy behind Trevor Siemian. And man, this guy just impresses every time you're watching him. Guy who was from Northwestern, part-timer. And Elway just sees the smarts, and you watch, and he just delivers just good balls, reads the defense well. He had 312 yards, four touchdowns. He was the number one quarterback, throwing to the number two receiver, Emmanuel Sanders, nine receptions, 117 yards, two touchdowns. And that's what happens. Last week, he didn't have that great of a game. And all of a sudden, this week, you know, number two guy out there. So it's crazy. But yeah, that Broncos-Bengals game, the bust over there, the GOAT would be C.J. Anderson, not even getting 40 yards, got 37 on 14 attempts, couldn't get going. They weren't that committed running the ball as much as they were throwing, probably because they were just having so much success. So, you know, that one was lost, but like I said, you win some, you lose some. I did say, however, to get you some LeSean McCoy, and that was more of a gut feeling. The statistics showed that he's been the second most used running back this season and workload in his total offense. So the opportunity's been there. But like always, you know, the results haven't been there so far. He's still one of the best running backs. And I had a gut feeling that cutting the offense coordinator, Greg Roman, there was just articles that you could read or things that I retweet out there. One of them that says that Greg Roman, week in, week out, had a 70 to 90 playbook for each team. Once they fired him, Anthony Lynn, they said it was about 30 to 40 plays, if I remember correctly. And all the players were on board. And Rex is the ultimate motivator. You know, they haven't played well. He's applying for a job, essentially, based off other stories out there in the league. And LeSean McCoy just had a great game. He just looked juiced up, so elusive, 110 yards, two touchdowns. So, like I said before, I mean, you know, some boom, some bust. It also helped that Sammy Watkins was out with a foot injury, so their receiving core was less than stellar with Robert Woods, Marquise Goodwin. So you knew there was going to get a lot of LeSean McCoy, and hey, you know, kudos to him. This week, more than ever, I feel like I'm doing an interview with myself as a student and being the principal. So now let's go from the good to the bad. I was very bold and said, sit Matthew Stafford, sit Jameis Winston. And what do you know? Matthew Stafford had a great game, number three quarterback, 385 yards, three TDs, the one INT to my boy Marvin Jones, who I've loved since week one. And I did take a question. Somebody tweeted out and asked whether to play Marvin Jones or not now that Sam Shields was not playing. And at the time of the podcast, I don't remember if I think the reports were still, it was inconclusive whether he was going to start or not. Once on Thursday, I believe for sure, Packers ruled him out. I said, yeah, Marvin Jones is a great play. He's shown definitely by now, if he has improved by week one and week two, that he is the number one option. Golden Tate is clearly a number two option. And just watching that game, watching it over, it just amazes me. And the best was the commentator at one point says, hey, is Green Bay going to notice that Marvin Jones is on the field? Because he's been wide open. And some of it's been blown coverage. Some of it's just good route running. And he just torched them. He didn't have many receptions, but he got 205 yards and two touchdowns. So now let's just go to a little good. Ryan Tannehill, who I did like as a sleeper, had a finished number nine, 319 yards, three TDs, two INTs. Luck, Rivers, mediocre. Luck was mediocre. Rivers had the yards, just no touchdowns. But the rookies, man, the rookies definitely impressing. Dak Prescott and Carson Wentz. Dak with 248 yards, 36 rush yards, and the two touchdowns, one rushing, one passing. And Carson Wentz, man, this guy, he impressed me since week one. But it's hard. It's hard to trust your gut or trust instinct or trust numbers when you know, you just don't want to believe it because you're unsure. But Carson Wentz just absolutely destroyed Pittsburgh. 301 yards, the two touchdowns, and definitely has one of the better touchdown celebrations with Jordan Matthews. So Carson Wentz, it's going to be interesting to see if his price tag goes up. But because it's just this guy still hasn't thrown an INT and is just impressed week in and week out. So going into the bat again, I said to sit Carlos Hyde. And granted, in my defense, there were a lot of garbage time points. Seattle clearly was winning that game. They let their foot off the throttle, just played a lot of underneath stuff and gave up a lot of yards late and two touchdowns to Carlos Hyde. Christine Michael looked ever so explosive with Thomas Rawls likely to be out even further than expected. Christine Michael, solid, 106 yards, two touchdowns. And Russell Wilson was on his way to post one of the best QB numbers. And the one thing that worried me again was the fact that he's got this hurt ankle. And now the injuries are coming out there that he's further injured. And that's what I was worried about. One bad hit or one bad tackle and he'd be out. So as much as this guy, Doug Baldwin, also had a good game, 164 yards, one touchdown. It's not that I don't believe in Doug Baldwin's talent, because I definitely do. It's just the thing that worries me is then once you sub, Russell Wilson came out of the game, that team just suffered. And that's why I'm worried about Doug Baldwin. But Christine Michael looked very explosive. Going into the good, DeMarco Murray. I was big on DeMarco Murray, number five. And the bad was Marcus Mariota. But early on Sunday morning, I was tweeting out that I was pivoting off Delanie Walker. Then later, it revealed that he was hurt and he was out for the Sunday's game. I pivoted off Mariota then. It just didn't seem to match up as well with Tajay Sharpe. It just didn't feel good, so I pivoted off. But, yeah, that was definitely the bad there. But another good positive note is David Johnson. And that game was, I said it before, was Rex is a great motivator, and the Bills were fired up and played. They came out firing out of the gates, and I don't know if it's the 1 o'clock Eastern, the West Coast, the East Coast 1 o'clock game had any effect. Maybe Carson Palmer is taking a step back, which is also another bad. Four INTs, definitely was trying to fight for the worst pick of the week with Ryan Fitzpatrick, who threw six. But yeah, so that was watching it, it's just kind of amazing because some of these were obviously some of them weren't his fault, but at the same time, some of them were clearly thrown to a Bills player. Some of them Bills players made amazing plays, and then some of them you watch and you're like, really? Really? That's how that game felt. But going back to the good in there, David Johnson showed you that similar to Mike Evans, who I'll get to, even in a bad losing situation, David Johnson was still able to get you 100 all-purpose yards and the two touchdowns. Like I said before, similar to a guy, Mike Evans, who showed last week that even in a blowout, he'll still get you numbers. Mike Evans with a good game, 132 yards, one touchdown. And Jameis Winston with 405 yards, three touchdowns, one INT. And then the one bad play because he took a sack with the game on the line, which, come on, Jameis, you're better than that. I'm not sure. There was an hour delay because of the lightning. I know I said last week that L.A., is taking more shots deep. They definitely took a shot deep with the Brian Quick touchdown. And they were taking shots deep and getting balls into playmakers like Tavon Austin's hands, Todd Gurley with a touchdown as well. But yeah, I'm not sure how much whether it was that the delay caused it. But Winston, Evans, another solid game. Now let's something good. Jordy Nelson. I told you that Jordy Nelson was 90% of the snaps, up from 70%. And I just had a feeling that this would be his breakout. And what do you know? Jordy Nelson, 101 yards, two touchdowns. Another guy that I was high on, Jarvis Landry, 120 yards, one touchdown. His partner, Devontae Parker, not that many yards, three receptions, 56 yards, but the one touchdown did help. Sterling Shepard, another guy similar to Parker, who were definitely, Sterling Shepard was 15, Devontae Parker 19, but Sterling Shepard, 73 yards and the one touchdown, also could have had another one, but was tackled at the one. Dez, I think, is more hurt than he let on. That hurt. That was more of a bad. It's hard to say it was bad there. It's just more unfortunate in a game that I thought the Cowboys and knew the Cowboys would absolutely tear up the Bears. Dez, only 40 yards, one touchdown, left the game early a little bit in the first quarter because of the knee. And he just did not look like a true number 88 playmaker. But Ezekiel Elliott, 140 yards, once again just getting vultured by Lance Dunbar and Alfred Morris and Dak Prescott running it in himself, and it was so frustrating on that end to watch. I guess bad per se. Larry Fitzgerald, that hurt. Obviously Palmer with four INTs, 77 receptions, 60 yards. Travis Benjamin, 82 yards, but the absolute killer was Calvin Benjamin, and the most underrated team in football is the Minnesota Vikings. Stephon Diggs, it was not the contrarian play, but that defense just looked really good. Kyle Rudolph was the guy in that one with 70 yards and the one touchdown, but yeah, that defense is young and fast and 1 year better. So definitely a team to avoid. It's just bad matchups week in and week out. Tight ends are always unpredictable this year. None of the guys that I mentioned, Allen, obviously, Delanie Walker was injured. These guys didn't produce. You had guys like Zach Miller with two touchdowns and 78 yards, and Cameron Brate, who the Bucks let go of ASJ, and Cameron Brate got two touchdowns, and Jimmy Graham with 100 yards and a touchdown, and Travis Kelce, 89 yards and a touchdown. And I mentioned Rudolph earlier. So it was interesting on the tight ends, because it just, once again, like I said before, so unpredictable. But I always say injuries are most important. Yeah, I don't know who's going to go for the Patriots, whether it's going to be Brissett or Jimmy Garoppolo. But Texans D, overrated. I've thought they've been overrated for the past couple years. And you knew that game was going to get a solid dosage of LeGarrette Blount. And the Texans couldn't stop him. I mean, 24 carries, 105 yards, two touchdowns. It's just poor, poor on the Texans' part. Like I said, this week was just absolutely crazy. Jets, Chiefs. I actually felt good about the Jets. I almost talked about Decker and Marshall on the podcast, but luckily I didn't. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, six INTs, awful. And no Jamal Charles in that one. Spencer Ware got the bulk load, 20 carries, 75 yards. It's also going to be interesting to see whether Jamal Charles plays this coming up week or not. Another bad performance was the Carson Palmer. I expect them to bounce back. Raider Nation, the Titans, Derek Carr, he's getting, he had 249 yards, the one touchdown. The Raiders, looking forward, the Raiders very much have like four, it's like the Giants from last year. It's almost like a running back by committee. They have about three guys that they use, and somebody asked me whether to pick Latavius Murray or not. And I said no, because his workload and share is not there. He's not efficient. And, of course, his first carry is a 22-yarder. But, once again, the numbers show 10 carries, 37 yards, one touchdown. DeAndre Washington, six carries. Jalen Richard, or Jalen Richard, six carries. So, it's obviously, it's always frustrating when you say, don't pick a guy and he scores a touchdown. But there you go. I thought Amari Cooper, this would be a good matchup for him. Michael Crabtree with the eight receptions, 102 yards. Cooper with the nine targets. So, I mean, going forward, the matchup's there. It was definitely a better showing by the Raiders defense, who was the worst in football. Cleveland, Miami, I think the trend may be going forward is to pick against the Browns, whether it's quarterback or receivers. The Ravens, Jaguars, it was just a kind of a bore fest. Jaguars, I said, struggled, and once again, their offense has struggled. Chris Ivory hurt his foot. That we just have to monitor. But the Ravens, offensively, Steve Smith, possible repeat, three-peat, eight receptions, 87 yards. He was just missing the touchdown. But even though the Ravens got 19 points, it's just, I mean, maybe their field goal kicker might be the best guy going forward. It looks like the Packers are back. Relax, everybody, relax. Trevor Siemian might be a guy to consider going forward. Broncos were, even though down early, very early in that game, Jeremy Hill with two touchdowns, where this game kind of predicted to be a Gio Bernard game flow kind of game. Jeremy Hill, they just out-muscled them, but Trevor Siemian was just too good for them, getting the win. And Vikings D. Sam Bradford, once again, keeping composed, not losing the game, most importantly for them. Washington Redskins, as much as Kirk Cousins was getting so much flack, you know, he gave him a chance to win, and that matchup against Cleveland next week might be something to work to look at. Eli Manning, 350 yards, just the one touchdown, two INTs. I was so excited for that matchup, Odell against Norman. Odell with a good game, seven receptions, 121 yards. But maybe in the future, I might have to choose DeSean Jackson. He just murders, I shouldn't say, he just he destroys the Giants every time he faces them, whether it's in an Eagles uniform or a Redskins uniform. He only had five receptions, but 96 yards and a touchdown. Jamison Crowder, four receptions, 78 yards, one touchdown. Just showing that he's probably going to be the number one receiver there for Kirk Cousins. I've already talked about the Rams-Buccaneers game. Todd Gurley, 85 yards, two touchdowns, 27 carries. So that obviously they're going to be committed to the run there, and it's just he's going to be now back on the map. And interesting, going to see his price tag. Casey Keenum, 26 attempts, but that's a good that is a good run to pass ratio. They ran the ball 33 times as a whole as a team, throwing 26. But as long as LA can show that they can be effective and get first downs, then Todd Gurley is definitely going to be back to being the dominant back and getting good numbers. I mean, they had eight passing first downs and eight rushing first downs. So as long as they can move the ball in the air a little bit, Todd Gurley, expect him to be back on everybody's radar. Wrapping up the 49ers-Seahawks game. Once again, just look at Russell Wilson's injury reports every week. I'm sure you're going to read tons of articles, so keep your eye there. And Carlos Hyde is the definition of Jekyll and Hyde. Great week one. Nowhere to be found week two. This past week was more garbage time points than actual, the stats kind of skew it, where he had the 21 carries, 103 yards, two touchdowns. But those are mostly in the fourth quarter. But like I said, he's going to be definitely looking like boom or bust as the season wears on. The interesting game I thought was going to be the one of the high-scoring ones was San Diego-Indianapolis. And they both played good enough D where they were good just in the red zone. T.Y. Hilton with a good game. Philip Dorsett, I thought, could be a sleeper. Was nowhere to be found. But, like I said, they able to move. Both teams were able to move the ball. Rivers was able to move the ball. But they just weren't able to, score. And unfortunately, there's always the expression that the other side gets paid to. So obviously referring to the defenses of both teams, kudos to them. But it's just, it happens. Simple as that. Just to finish talking about the Eagles Steelers game, I already mentioned that Carson Wentz looked solid. Ben Roethlisberger, they threw the ball 44 times. D'Angelo Williams, nowhere to be found. Antonio Brown doing what Antonio Brown does. 12 receptions, 140 yards, just no touchdowns. But Ryan Matthews goes down with the injury early, and Darren Sproles looked great. Six receptions, 128 yards. Wendell Smallwood picked up the boatload of the carries. He got 17 carries. Kenjon Barner with eight. We're going to have to monitor Ryan Matthews as well, because Darren Sproles, we know he's explosive in the pass game. And they're a two-headed monster. You may lean towards Sproles going into the future. Lastly, the Bears-Cowboys game. Takeaways, you knew this game was flowed towards Ezekiel Elliott. And if you didn't watch the game, the commentators made a note, which was apparent in the first two of his games, that He has to be more patient. He has one of the best offensive lines. So just wait for your blockers and wait for the blocks to set up. And then once you see it, then hit the hole. So he did a great job this week. Obviously, it helps going against the Bears, who had so many injuries in week two, offense and defense. But it's just another good game for him and something to build off of. And Dez Bryant, once again, just pay attention to the injuries. Cole Beasley is by far Dak Prescott's favorite target. 7 targets, 7 receptions, 73 yards. And he took a big hit. It's good to see he's okay. And I guess for the Bears, Zach Miller stood out, had a good game. Kevin White had a lot of targets, but only 6 receptions, 42 yards. Ashlon Jeffrey, you know, decent, 5 receptions, 70 yards, so he could be decent going forward. So that pretty much wraps it up for the week 3 recap. Follow me on Twitter at Manny Perez DFFR. Peace.